com.
The world is a better place when the United States takes leadership. This is time for us to do this. I hope we will do it soon.
You could destroy his munitions, and you could destroy his fuel. You could even destroy the Syrian Air Force if we wanted to.
Those were the voices of Senator Bob Corker, first, a Republican from Tennessee, saying act now, and Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat from New York, saying we need to do something, but not suggesting that we go full force, that we do something else like destroy the munitions, etc. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, Syria, and what the U.S. involvement is going to be on the minds of so many Americans and others. Others are people in Syria and people in the Middle East, like Israel and Jordan. American drone strikes, a possible option, because there are plenty of drones available in the Middle East. Armed drones are near Syria, supposedly, right now. Remember, our focus was Yemen, Pakistan, Horn of Africa, but they're there. So the likely option seems to be cruise missile strikes. That's probably what could happen here. That's probably what we're going to see. An attack, well, when do you think it's going to happen? It would happen at night. Because the concern would be for collateral damage, innocent people getting hurt. Fewer people would be on the streets. Drivers on the roads, etc. There'd be a better chance of missing those kinds of people. Got to go after what's the areas where they believe the chemical weapons are and whatever their delivery system is to try to wipe that out if it's not too late. Because you got to assume, being warned and seeing what's happening, Bashar Assad is no dummy, and he could certainly take those weapons and hide them. We've seen this before, or we think we've seen this before. An enemy strike does run the risk of killing, harming, maiming numbers of civilians in Syria. Kids. So is it going to be a deterrent for the Syrian government? Is it going to be like hitting a hornet's nest and it just awakens and terrible things continue to happen? Maybe it gets ratcheted up. There's nothing but questions and no answers yet from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There was even problems with the UN crew that went in, the weapons inspectors, the giant UN signs on the car, but still one of them was shot at. One of them was shot at several times. Luckily, nobody hurt. So what are the options in Syria? We laid a couple of them out for you just there. The options aren't good, no matter how you look at this. You can turn it upside down, shake it around, and we keep coming back to the same thing. Either you do or you don't. Either you believe in your intel or you don't. The timing couldn't be stranger, that part of it. To be sure, that's not the only thing we're going to talk about in this hour of America Tonight, although it's certainly a heavy part of the conversation. Tanya Markhill is going to join us for a little bit of levity, in a sense, talking about houses and the best place to grab up an investment. Still parts of Florida, even parts of California, but the housing is so expensive and the taxes. I think people are being driven out of California because, you know, what you have to pay to live there is off the charts. And I bet those people that are stuck in those camps would do anything to get out of their situations. John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., says the U.S. could end up worse off if the president acts against Syria. even though it's looking more and more that it's going to be some kind of action. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, says the President has to consult with Congress before acting in Syria. It certainly doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. All right, closer to home, sadness. If you have never been to some of our brilliant national parks, do yourself a favor, and if you can get there somehow, some way, go. Yosemite. Let's hope that they can get a handle on the Yosemite fire, because they have 3,500 firemen fighting it now at this point, and it's 10%, barely 10% contained. It's a big, big problem. Burning down some of the most beautiful scenery you could ever imagine, and threatening power sources in San Francisco. Almost 3 million people would be affected by that. Governor Jerry Brown talks about that it's getting worse. And what about those power lines? Take a listen.
They're doing everything they can to protect the power lines. And after that, of course, when you burn down everything, you've got a moonscape out there that with floods can contaminate the water. This is something that we have to live with. It may even get worse in years to come, but California will be ready for it. And whatever it takes, I'm going to make sure that the resources are deployed.
All right, deploying the resources, and boy, you need a lot of them. Like I said, the way it's going, it's been described as a fire that has scorched an area about the size of the city of Chicago. And they're hanging in there. They're trying to do everything they can to get it out, you know, to put it out, to contain it. That's what it's about. Contain, contain, contain. Now the latest number I've seen, it's jumped up significantly from 10 to 20% contained, because it was spreading mostly to the east and threatening to grow in those dry conditions and hot weather, because that's what happens. And the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir is where most of San Francisco's water supply comes from, and that's right there in Yosemite, and it's just east of that fire now at this point. So there's concerns over over what's happening there, because the people in San Francisco are going to be without power, not thinking that this was going to happen. A key part of what they're trying to do is keep this away from those tourist areas. I mean, this park is an incredible treasure, and you go there, and it's just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to see Yosemite, the waterfalls, some just incredible terrain. Beautiful. So far, the fire has destroyed about 11 houses and 12 what they would call outbuildings. And a campground that was owned by the city of Berkeley. But they have to get through this. They have to figure out a way to continue to douse the flames and contain. It's a slow, brutal business. And especially with the amount of timber, the amount of what this fire thrives on, it keeps getting more and more and more. Tanya Markiel next, talking a little real estate for fun. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Markiel's in the wings. You remember her. We had her at the beginning of the year talking about housing. And now here we are for another check-in halfway, almost through, actually, the year. And we have new headlines and things to talk about, in fact, when it comes to new homes, saying that sales have, I've just been reading the statistics, have taken the biggest drop since 2010. Tanya, I remember we were having these discussions about forecasting and what it was going to look like. Are you surprised or no, this is what you thought would happen?
No, these are great. You know, really, all except for that number, it's been great numbers for housing. And even the numbers that haven't been so good are okay because it's showing a balance. And what we really want to see in housing is stabilization. That number for new home sales is interesting. Nobody would have ever thought that it would have been that low. But you have to think of a couple of things that nobody's really thinking about. You have to realize that building is a process. Taking a lot from a raw piece of dirt up through entitlements to plotting and going through the build time where a human can actually purchase it takes time. And builders have a lot of inventory built up. Well, they're out of that inventory, and they're now having to get other pieces of land and take it through that process. So it's not just interest rates, are the reason that we've seen that number spike.
All right, and last time when we were together, we were also talking about looking at numbers that we were seeing that a lot of people were finding the good buys because you're the CEO of Team Investments, and one of the things that you talked about is people that are picking up real estate investments because, hey, we're not going to make any more land. Land is still one of the best investments. It depends on the pickup, where you go, location, all that kind of thing. So what are the best locations right now for that?
You know, location really hasn't changed too much since December. Arizona, Florida, some parts of California. It depends on what you're buying for. And if you're buying as an investment, more so than the real estate itself, you got to look at jobs and what's driving that real estate to look like it's looking. So when you look at that, and if you're going to buy and hold like a lot of the large hedge funds are doing, you know, you want to go where jobs are, where there's good rental income. That's what you want to look at. And that really still is Arizona and Florida.
Wow, really? So, and when you're talking about a place like Florida, are you saying all of the Sunshine State or, you know, everybody wants a piece of the beach? So your beach type areas, can you still get some good bargains there?
You can, but really, there's deals all over Florida, and they're different types of deals, right? Miami's always going to be a hot market because it's a vacation destination, huge international buyer pool. That's always going to be a place where people want to buy and go. But then you look at a place like Orlando, and Orlando is big because it has lots of jobs. So if I'm looking at rentals, I may really want to consider Orlando. Orlando has a great, healthy job market, really, due to Disney.
Really? How about that? And do you find that with investors, I mean, obviously there's syndicates where people have a lot of different partners and whatnot, but I've recently run into this. When I knew we were going to have you on, and I just called even the people in my neighborhood. In other words, I just talked to them, and I found out that right across the street from me, two neighbors, then the neighbor down and the neighbor down, all in my development had rental properties.
Yeah.
And they told me that that's what has been just for them the best thing they ever did. So do you find that sometimes it's individual people and they just say, hey, I have that same philosophy about they're not making more land, this is the right thing to do, and boom, let's go.
I think a lot of times you find that. You know, when I look at people's, when people come to me and they want to invest, I take everyone individually. But a lot of times buying, holding, and renting something out is the absolute best strategy. You know, you have to realize that real estate is the only thing where you can walk into a bank they want to give you money for, right? They want to leverage it. You can go to someone else and rent it out and have them pay that mortgage. You get to keep the overage, and you make appreciation on it. There's not another asset out there where you can do all of those things.
True. But here's the thing. Before, you had trouble getting the bank note. Is that starting to get easier?
You know, there's some loosening of lending criteria, but for the most part, you're still, especially with an investment, you're putting down 25% to 30%, and you got to have provable income.
Yeah. As long as you have, I mean, that's the whole thing. See, we live in a world, and you know this too, of entrepreneurs. You know, there are people that are entrepreneurs that are doing quite well. I mean, that's what the country is, the backbone of the country. So there it can be a little tricky. What do you do if you're somebody who's an entrepreneur? You just have to keep showing your tax returns?
Yeah, very tricky, you know, because as an entrepreneur, you want to take advantage of the tax code, and yet when you take advantage of the tax code and it doesn't look like you make very much money, you're not going to be able to buy very much real estate. So it's a catch-22, but really, for the most part, entrepreneurs need to plan on putting down 25 to 30%. Having good credit and provable income, and, you know, you're still able to buy. And with the recent spike in interest rates, even albeit so slight, we're really seeing some of the regional banks come back to life. And that's a good thing because it gives more opportunity for people like you and I who are self-employed.
Right, right. It's interesting because there has been a bounce back, and you're talking about some of the areas. You know, you mentioned Florida and California. What's the deal with California? Does it depend on where you are in Los Angeles or San Diego or San Francisco? Is it that location thing and what's happened there? Because remember, what was it, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we were talking about it was horrific. It was a massacre in California.
We were waiting for it to literally fall off into the ocean,
yes,
right?
Yes, we're waiting for it to break away and float away, yes.
It really depends on where you are. There's a lot of bidding wars in California because prices are still relatively low. Interest rates are still relatively low. So there are bidding wars. But then you have a place like Richmond who wants to implement eminent domain instead of foreclosures, which is just the worst idea ever because we've got to keep the government out of housing. But, you know, there's a lot going on in California. You need to be very careful and know exactly what you're buying, and not just in California, but anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. So let me ask you about this. We were talking about California. When it was tricky to pick up houses in certain areas, true story, I had a friend that was looking for a house, was determined to live in Westlake Village. No houses. Finally said to the real estate person, because what was happening, if a house came up, somebody would come in from another country or from an investment group, and you know what they did? They'd say, well, we're going to give you, they'd open, I'm not kidding you, they would literally open a suitcase full of cash and say, here's the cash. I didn't think you could do that. Here's the cash we can give you right this second. And, of course, they would jump at it. So finally what happened is she sent the realtor knocking on doors to see if anyone wanted to sell, and somebody did. Somebody decided,
that's absolutely the case. I it's so funny. You hear these stories, and people are like, yeah, right. I believe it at this point in time because housing has really come back with a boom, and it really is a driving force in the economy. I mean, we saw existing home sales last week alone up 7%. That is the largest gain since 2009, and it's great to see existing home sales. Those are homes that have been built, you know, lived in, been there, done that, and people are buying again. So that's a great thing, and it really just shows that housing really is still in strong demand and is a driving force in the economy.
Yeah. Do you you got to tell us a crazy story. I don't think I had you tell me one last time. In all your years in real estate, what's the craziest thing that you've seen?
Oh, boy, you're going to put me on the spot. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You have one. Just come on, cash floating from the ceiling, something. I know it. In Miami, of all places.
Right? I know.
Yes.
You know, I really don't have any crazy stories. I guess I'm pretty boring when it comes to the craziness. I like it simple.
The Brazilian.
I'll think of one and have it ready for you for the next time
I'm thinking like Miami Vice, the Brazilians riding in on their, or actually coming in with one of their giant yachts and then plopping down the money that way. Because what I heard is in Miami, that's what's happening, that the Brazilians are buying a lot of those properties.
You know, they are, and they are buying for cash. But I don't necessarily know that anyone's coming in with a boatload of dollar bills.
Is it in Miami? Is it because I used to spend a lot of time in Miami, and I'm sure people listening across America are laughing at that. I mean, if I had golf clubs in a car, I was wherever I was going next. I was on my next adventure. So in Miami, there was those great high rises on the water, and they used to just be jammed. You couldn't even get in there. And then everybody fled from them. Now are they selling again?
Oh, they're absolutely selling again. I remember being in Miami in 2009, and it was almost like, a deserted island on some of those high rises. We stayed in Trump Towers down, south beach, and it was just deserted. And now all of those high rises are full again.
That's good news for people like you, Tanya.
It's a great news.
Tanya Markiel, thanks so much. You can check her out at teaminvestmentsinc.com. It was a lot of fun. You got to come up with a funny story.
I'm going to think of one and make sure that I tell you.
All right. That's good. Thank you, Tanya.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, I Had a Dream. Derek Green joins us from Project 21. Derek, right off the bat, my question to you is, what would Dr. King think today?
That's a good question, a complex one at that. I think that if Reverend King were alive today and he would be able to take kind of a broad scope of American culture, I think that he would, in fact, be happy with the progress that Black Americans have made, America as a whole, but Black Americans specifically have made since his speech in 1963 up until this day. I think that, you know, when he would look across American culture and American society, he would see Blacks in a number of positions, whether it's elected political leadership, you know, whether they're doctors or lawyers, or other positions of influence that he wouldn't have seen back in 1963. So I think that he would be, he would like what he saw. I think that he would still be a bit dissatisfied with the fact that even more Black Americans haven't found maybe the internal drive or the initiative to embrace the freedom that we now have. And so I think it probably would be somewhat bittersweet. I think that he would definitely be happy, but I think that he would be dissatisfied in the fact that more Blacks should have taken the opportunity to embrace the freedom and the promise that his sacrifice led to. Now, having said that, I think that he would be immeasurably disappointed in those people who self-anointed themselves his progeny in the civil rights industry. I think that seeing them and what they've done since his passing, I think he would be very heartbroken that they almost inverted his dream. I think that they people that came after Reverend King, rather than saying race isn't an issue, have said race is an issue, and because it is an issue, we want this, that, and the other. So I think that I think it would have been a very interesting conversation if miraculously Reverend King were to be resurrected. I think it would be very, very interesting, his perspective.
Yeah, you think about it, again, the time when it was and what happened, and there certainly was massive oppression. There's no question about it. But do you are you surprised? I mean, here it is 5 decades later, and this is what you're saying as we move forward. You know, here when you do a talk show, so often we'll hear the phrase, and I hate it. It just makes my skin crawl. Oh, there's race baiting, and there's the myth of what's really happening and what's not happening, and the back and forth over half the stories that are out there that involve a crime where it involves somebody who happens to be black, somebody happens to be white, and certainly we know the Trayvon Martin situation and what that turned out to be and how divisive and polarizing it was across the nation. And as you're saying, you think he may be a little bit disappointed in that. Why is that? Why do you think we haven't gotten beyond this?
You know, I think one of the main reasons I think that is because I think that there's a lot of political capital wrapped up in keeping Americans divided by race. I think it goes a long way with emotional manipulation that, you know, comes and bears fruit on election day. So I think that's one reason, specifically as it relates to black Americans. I think that progressive politics has a very, very huge vested interest, cultural interest and political interest in keeping blacks maintaining the type of mentality where they blame everything on racism. Because, again, on election day, you know, blacks come out in, you know, very, very high numbers, as evidenced this past November. I think another reason for that is that it's no longer a civil rights movement. I think that civil rights, as it was defined back in 1963, I think civil rights have largely been achieved. I think what we see now, what Shelby Steele has called the racial grievance industry, and I think that particular industry, there's a lot of money to be made, there's a lot of careers to be created, and there's a lot of wealth to be redistributed in a racial grievance industry. And so because of that, I think that's why Americans, you know, will largely say, oh, I guess, you know, over the last 6 or 7, 8 weeks that, you know, Americans seem to be more divided by race than it was, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think those two things have a lot to do with it.
What do you think? I was reading a comment today from Congresswoman Marsha Fudge from Ohio, a Democrat, who was asked about the trajectory of race relations. Has it been positive or negative in recent years? And of course, she's the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and she was kind of taken aback for a second, you know, kind of paused a little bit, I guess, really to reflect on the question. And she said, this is a quote, she said, right after the election of the president, I would have thought it was going to be in a positive direction, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think we've lost ground as it relates to our tolerance of people who are different or people who we believe have not worked hard enough. You hear the language all the time, and as I was mentioning that talk radio, the buzzwords often primarily directed at low-income people and communities of color. But do you think she's pushing that thing, you know, that agenda kind of forward because Democratic lawmakers say that this is really the state of affairs when it comes to race and progress and civil rights and whatnot? It's the Republicans' fault because they've betrayed the progress. Do you think that's true?
I don't think that's true. I think that what's her initial part of her statement, I think many Americans would agree with. I think that with the election of the first black president back in 2008, I think a lot of Americans thought that this would go over well with improving race relations. I think that when she says she's shocked and surprised, I think she's being a bit disingenuous because she would have to be convicting herself and a number of black Democratic politicians for contributing to that. I think that, you know, we have to understand back in 1963, we had under 5, I think, black congressional members. Now we have close to 50. I think we've made tremendous progress in that area alone. I think that what has happened is, again, people are going around. Okay, so for example, when it comes to President Obama's policy and what he's done, if anybody who is white, you know, raises their voice to criticize what he's done, it's immediately labeled as being racist. If a black person does the same thing, they're immediately denigrated as a sellout or Uncle Tom. And I think that, unfortunately, the Congressional Black Caucus has contributed to that. I think that they're the ones who are saying, you know, people disagree with the president primarily based on race when they have no evidence to support those claims. Another issue that I kind of take umbrage with is the fact that, you know, she's part of the Congressional Black Caucus, which has admitted publicly that they, you know, aren't challenging the president the way they should be precisely because he's black. Now, the previous chairperson of the Congressional Black Caucus, Emanuel Cleaver, came out and said, if the president were white, we would be marching around the White House because of his poor economic stewardship. But because the president is black, they defer to him in a way that they otherwise wouldn't. This is what he said. And so when you have a bunch of members that are, you know, representing the Congressional Black Caucus, individual members who represent districts that have some of the highest unemployment in the nation, for them to go out and say that we're not going to do this because of the president's race means that they, too, are convicted of contributing to what this dismay that she complains about. So I think it was a bit disingenuous for her to word the second part of her statement in the way that she did.
Yeah. We're speaking with Derek Green, Project 21. Derek, on a different kind of note, I mentioned for me when I first heard Martin Luther King's Jr.'s words, I can remember my mother and my father both telling me about King. In fact, my father died when I was young. It's one of the things I remember about him and how passionate he was about it. We lived in New York and whatnot, and that was heavily emphasized in the curriculum. So it was something that the words were something I knew when I was young. Do you remember what it meant for you when you first heard the "I Have a Dream" speech?
Well, when I first heard it and I guess had knowledge of what he was saying. For me, it was interesting to see a minister be that compelling outside of the church context. It seemed that a lot of people took what he said to heart, and it inspired a lot of people. And for me, at such a young age, what it meant to me is that, you know, the gospel can be preached outside of church, and it can have a greater reach to people outside of the confines of the church building. And so for me, I was kind of moved by that. You know, for me, the benefit of my upbringing, my parents grew up in the South and, you know, they moved out to California. So I got to have and be a recipient of the benefits of much of what was said in his speech. So for somebody to hear that type of speech and realize that, you know, you are receiving what he talked about, it wasn't really until I got older that I could truly understand the scope of what he was saying and how, you know, I was able to benefit from that. And so knowing that I'm benefiting from it, it's disconcerting to hear so many people who also have been beneficiaries of what he spoke about and what his public ministry was able to accomplish to denigrate it in a way to say, well, yes, it's as bad as it was then, or if we still have problems to go. We'll always have problems because we're imperfect people trying to make the best of an imperfect situation. But I think it's just disingenuous, I think, to not acknowledge those benefits that we've come a long way. We've come a very, very long way. And though we may still have areas in which we may need to improve, 2013 America is no way near as racist or as bad as it was back in 1963, and a large part of that, you know, falls upon the shoulders of Reverend King.
I agree. Derek Green, thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it. Project 21. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. Believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither peace nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
All right, so what you hear there is really a big chunk. I wanted to hear that of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, because we were just talking to Derek Green about that, and it was interesting to get his take from the Project 21 point of view. All right, let's squeeze in our last caller, Jim in Alabama. Hello, Jim. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Kate. First time caller, long time listener. You that speech in terms of Martin King, it's amazing. I've had my boots on the ground since 1954 when he started. When he started in Montgomery, he worked with us very closely here and his top lieutenants here in Huntsville in the early 60s. I believe that Martin King will go down in history as being the greatest civil rights leader that this nation has produced, and it has produced some great ones. So to move to where we are today, I remember his book, so beautiful, before he was assassinated. He says, where do we go from here? And by the way, it was a joy to sit back in this 24th day of August in Washington, D.C. this weekend to relive those hellacious days of the 1940s, 1950s. But where we are okay, today is what is wrong in this nation. Is the axis of evilness. We have seen void and animosity permeating. Dr. King taught us over 50 years ago, if you're going to solve problems, go to the root. What is
the root of it. Boy, that is so well said, Jim. Thank you. We're going to end on that note. We're up against it, but go to the root of it, as Jim said. Thank you for sharing your story with us and what happened in Washington, and can you believe it has been 50 years? Think about it. How far have we come? How far have we not come?
A simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.